The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an on-time message from the Word of God.
During praise and worship, I kept hearing the Lord say, and I know this is for me, but it may be for you too. When I tell you to lay down your idols, I'm not trying to take something from you. I'm trying to get something to you.
Amen. That's a good word. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That is such a good word. He's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to get something to you. Man. And when you shared that with me, I knew it was right on time, because a part of my message is bringing back, it's dealing with Christ's commands regarding spiritual gifts, but it's more so that we will embrace the things that he has for us. But in order to embrace the things he has for us, we got to let some things go. And so when I heard you share that, I said, oh my goodness, it's right on point. And then even Brother Eddie was saying some things when he was talking, and everything seemed to flow with what God was, what he gave me for today. And so it is just so good to be here with you and to hear what God is doing. See, I tell you, I'm still drunk. So for me, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to try to stay on point. But, last year, we got our shower. We got it fixed. Now, Ivy likes to take really, really hot showers. It's almost like you're being boiled. And so I have to remember to not put it up that high, because she thinks it's comfortable and I'm burning. And but anyway, she kept saying, we don't have as much, something's wrong with our power or the heat. It's not as warm. I'm like, goodness gracious. Well, the guy came and we had to replace our two hot water heaters. I'm getting somewhere with this. And anyway, he replaced these two and he said, yeah, they were going bad. And so now it's really hot and I can tell, wow, okay. I see where it's supposed to be. But I've actually learned to like it. Not as hot as she likes it, but I like it. So I'm saying this because when I'm in there, I don't take as long showers as the rest of the family, but my showers are pretty short. But when I'm in there, I'm soaking. And it just feels so good. And that's how I feel right now. Just God is speaking, and it's almost like a million songs. I could hear melodies, and it's like branches. You watch Tarzan jump from one branch to the next, and he can swing all over his country. That's how I feel, because I hear strands of God speaking, and I can grab hold of this. And that's how it is for us, for all of you. Maybe the person next to you is needing healing. There's a branch out there for healing. He's the branch. Amen. Maybe you've got something happening in your family with your children. He's got a branch for that, you know. And so it's just so awesome how a God, so awesome, our God, the God, so awesome can minister to all of us in one single second and in so many different levels. And he is just a good God. So I appreciate him so much. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this word that will be spoken. And I thank you that it will be a teaching that people can grab hold of and grow from, Father God. I expect the enemy to be upset over this. I don't care. I thank you. We are protected. We know the enemy comes for revelation's sake and he tries to hit us, but we are strong and victorious and we will excel in Jesus' name. So speak to your people. Give that revelation, Father God, that will cause them to go to the next level in you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So listen, I'm going to be talking about spiritual gifts. Pastor asked me, and it was a short notice. He apologized. He said, brother, I need to deal with some things here. And so, I need you to cover for Sunday. And I said, not a problem, Pastor. I said, I will do it. anytime the pastor asks me for something, my answer is going to be yes. I'll figure out how to get it done afterwards. But anyway, so I just prayed because I had a busy weekend and a lot was going on. But I said, God, what do you want to deal with? What do you want to address? And he brought me to this. This is something we teach actually in our prophetic class. But it talks about Christ's commands concerning spiritual gifts. And the reason that is important, and we can say, oh, that's, we've heard of spiritual gifts all the time. Oh, yeah, the Bible's chock full of spiritual gifts. Yeah, that's great. But God wants us to embrace our spiritual gifts. What's the gift that he has for us? And so we're going to go through this, and it's a teaching. But at the same time, I believe as we get taught, it will inspire us to go to the next level in what God has for us. So if you could, turn to Hebrews. I know you can. Turn to Hebrews 5:14. So in Hebrews 5:14, say amen when you get there. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Is that what you got there? Okay, I want to make sure I'm not in the wrong spot, but that's what I got. Used to hear a pastor say, in my Bible, if you got a good Bible, it's on page. No. Oh, yes. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's no jokes in my sermon, so I kind of like just ride along. If I hear something, I say it. And so you can determine if it's funny or not, but I don't really put a lot of jokes in my message here. But so the strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. You know, we've got this little cat that Amy Vance tricked us in. No, I'm teasing. But Amy brought this cute little cat to the church, and a little gray, little cute kitten. And we called him Smoke. We ended up taking him home. But Smoke, we found out, can't eat the same food as my older cat. My older cat, I call her girl, because I just say, hey, girl, hey, girl, hey, girl. She really has a name, but nobody calls her by it. But here is little Smoke trying to eat Big Kitty's food. And we have to remind, no, Smoke, you can't have that. We have to move him to the other side because he's not ready. He won't digest it properly. The vet said he shouldn't have it. And so understand, babes in Christ, they come in and it's okay. They get to take the milk, right? But you know, I don't know if you heard me preach a couple weeks ago or so. I was talking about God wants motion. He wants you progressing in some way. He wants you moving in some way, shape, or form. He doesn't want you just settling right there in the middle and stopping. God likes movement, right? Well, what God says is okay for a babe in Christ is not always going to be okay for you because he expects us to mature and to grow. All right? And at some point, he wants you to cut your teeth and be able to handle some strong meat. Amen? So I'm not going to camp out here too long, but keep Hebrews 5:14 in your thinking as we go through the rest of this, because truly strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. At some point, he wants you to be grown up. And I will tell you, that doesn't happen without work. That doesn't happen passively. And I spoke, you'll hear this from me over and over because it's all about determination and being aggressive and being not passive. Now, people will tell you I'm pretty kind. I'm a kind person. Now, I don't say that. I mean, that's just, if you know my mama, you'll know, I mean, that got in me. My mama's very kind, but she's very direct. I mean, she's very deliberate, okay? She's not at all harsh. But so I say that to say that anything I do it as if I'm planning for the next level. So I never stop planning for the next level. God wants us to continue to plan and to work for what he has for us next. Because I'm of the mindset, I don't want to get there. I don't like getting somewhere and then saying, I'm going to be ready. Get ready. No, get ready ahead of time. Because by the time you're there, the fight's on. You don't have time to figure out how to work your shotgun or whatever it is. Amen? So, all right. Now, I said this is from our prophetic class, and we spend a good 2-3 hours, sometimes more than that, on this. So I don't have that much time, so I got to remember to move on through this here. But remember that scripture. We will come back to it. Okay, so here we want to covet earnestly. Let's think about this. Now, a study in the New Testament reveals that the only divine attribute that we, the church, the only divine attribute that we, the church, are able to covet, the gifts of the Spirit. He wants you to covet those things. In 1 Corinthians, my phone is going to keep trying to go off. Hold on for a moment. Got to tell my phone to stay put. In 1 Corinthians, in 12:31, let's look there. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. So there you see where it says desire. In 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to jump around a little bit, and then we'll come and link it all back together. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, it tells us pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. These are not new scriptures to us. We've read them over and over. But it's strange that God has to remind us to pursue, to desire, you know, because we could easily get complacent and forget to pursue these things. So when we covet, it's okay. He says, and let me put it another way. What you're not allowed to covet. You can't covet your neighbor's wife. Right? So think about that. Let's put it in that context. Coveting someone else's wife, lusting after her. Right? So he's saying, you can lust after spiritual gifts. I know lust is usually a bad word, a negative word. But you can want something so bad that you could, I got to get it. I'm going to pursue it. I desire it. I want it. Right? He's saying you can do that with spiritual gifts. You can't do it for that person's husband or that person's wife. Some people lust after money, whatever it is. He's saying you could do it with spiritual gifts. And so why are there so many churches trying to say, oh, that's past. We don't need that anymore. We don't embrace the power of God. Now, I know I'm speaking to the choir because we believe in spiritual gifts here. Now, we can say that as a philosophy for our church, and we can say that is true. But the truth of the matter is we got to get it to the level where each individual believes it. Because we can say that as a church, and that can be a part of our mission. But until we own it and find our own spiritual gifts and say, hey, I've got a log I'm bringing to the campfire. When you come to the church, you should have a log ready to throw into the fire so that our fire together can rage on. Right? That's my goal today, is to talk about us and to stir you to getting to the place where you're going to find, what spiritual gift is manifesting into my life? And if it's not, what do I have to do to get there? Remember, I said I want to be deliberate and planful, not passive in anything we do. God is not a passive God. There's some things he allows you to go and flounder around for a little while. But after a while, he's going to say, look, this is how it gets done. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, so then, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, right now, we're focusing on desire, coveting, and we're setting that up because it's almost like you need to have a license. At times, we got to remind the church, these things are okay to pursue. I mentioned earlier, sometimes our job or getting to a certain level in education, and it's almost like we think we get to a place where we're so dignified and so prestigious at some point that, well, I don't have time to think in that primitive setting. That's not really what the word meant. And we go and start trying to manipulate God's word. You will never outgrow the truth of God. You will never. Some people will educate themselves out of their relationship. And I think it's important that we remember it is okay to pursue this. I'm trying to give you a license right now with just setting this piece up. God is trying to tell us, I want you to pursue this. I put it out there for you. Some of you bake and you cook and you prepare. And when somebody's coming over your house, you... Ivy says she wants to cook Thanksgiving dinner, which is the one thing she really absolutely loves to do. I'm happy for her. I'm like the food, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for her, but guess what? She wants to do it, so I want to help her, but it's a lot of work for me. Because I know right away, okay, I might have to go and get some chairs from somewhere. I might break out the table, and it's not good enough to break out the table. Otis dusts the table off. I know those basic things that you should do, you know. I'm like, hey, just give them a place to sit. And she, no. She goes all out and trying to match the curtains with the tablecloth or whatever it is. She goes all out. I'm trying to give you permission to do that because when God cooks for you and prepares a table for you and says, I've got gifts for you, and it's not just that you can get full from eating it, it's that the church will progress because he has these gifts that are supposed to help us to be victorious and triumphant. And we get there and say, I don't want to eat. I know you prepared that for us. I don't want it. And he says, I want you to covet it. I want you to hunger after it. I want you to pursue it. So we just read three scriptures where it used that type of language. Pursue, desire, you know. And I mean, he wants us to be eager to grab hold of these things. And these things we're talking about, it takes work. They're the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And so you heard me talking about tongues. Heard me talking about prophesying. We're going to talk about this a little more as we go along. But I just want you to get it in your mind. If you got some friends who go to a certain type of church and they say those things are no longer in the kingdom, that was for a given time, and you know it even says it will cease, they are not breaking that scripture down properly. Amen? We still have need of it. We know right now we can look and we see dimly. We don't understand. We can't even get a full picture. We see in part, and Pastor talked about that, preached about that some time ago. So we always have a need for the spiritual gifts. Unless we're all healed, unless we're all walking in supernatural faith where we no longer, everything's coming, so we don't have to have faith for a big thing. We all need the gifts. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit are not for our own benefit, but primarily for the benefit of others. This is why it's not okay for us not to grab hold of what God has for us. It's one thing to say, you know, I don't need that. I don't want that. But if it truly just affected you, okay. I will say that's not even okay if it just affected you because really you're not even your own. You're God's. So God wants you to take care of yourself. He wants you to do the things you need to for yourself. But the gifts are not for you. My gifting is not so I can feel good in myself or do something that's great for me. My gifting is so that I can bless the church. and the body of Christ. And actually, not even just the body, but the world, my area of influence, my community. They need our gifts. Even people who are not in the church needs the church to walk in their giftings. That bad boy will preach right there. Because I'm telling you, when you are operating in your gifting, everything lines up. You'll have better health. You'll be happier. You'll be able to get the nasty, fiery arrow or dart that the enemy is throwing at you. You'll be able to maneuver through that. And your whole community will be blessed. You won't walk in fear. Think about it. I mean, it really expands to everything. So let's get that in our mind, that this isn't just about benefiting ourselves, embracing or lusting, pursuing after. I know every time I say lust, people probably cringe. And I did that on purpose because that's the one area you can have that type of desire for spiritual gifts. I know we put a negative slant on that, but I'm saying I want you to be hungry for it. I want you not to be satisfied. There's people who have lost their jobs because they lusted after the wrong thing. There's people who have lost their families because they have lusted after. So what if we took that same thing that caused people to be so addicted to something, if we took that same thing and applied it to the things of God and said, I am addicted to God, spending time in his presence. I've got to do it. I mean, could you imagine the devils? I'm going to be honest. I'm so mad that I haven't laid hands on these two and just seen them run. I told Pastor this. It's a nut I want to crack because I know God did it in the Bible. It is. It is coming. In the name of Jesus. But I've had conversations with God, and I said, God, I won't know you did it in the Bible. Why haven't I done it yet? Why haven't I been able to? I don't care who does it, by the way. Any of us. It's not about me, but I'm looking at my people, and I'm seeing what they're going through, and I'm like, why haven't we done this yet? I desire it more than I can tell you. But imagine if we just were so hungry for everything that we just shut stuff down. I mean, I'm telling you, while I'm just letting God flow right now because I'm jumped off of my scriptures. But I'm thinking about it, you know. I'm thinking about, you know, we do these binge watching on Netflix or Hulu or whatever you got or Prime and all these things that get us tied up. But we forget to have that addiction to where we pursue God with everything in us and we hunger after the gifts of him, his gifts, right? I'm on my toes, okay? I hear you, Lord. But we got to pursue it because it benefits our brothers and sisters. It benefits our community. Do not let anyone tell you that it's not what God has for you. You just got to find out what your area is. So the gifts are definitely given to bless God's people. And now I'm going to say in this scripture we will look at, and where it talked about tongues, it said tongues are good. Basically, tongues edify yourself. But he wants you to pursue prophecy because prophecy edifies the whole, right? When we pray in tongues and understand we should pursue that, we should desire to do that, but it's building yourself up. And that's something we want to do. But we also want to speak, what is God doing in the earth? And he speaks through his people to do that so we will know. And we do know he speaks through his Bible. So none of this is exclusive from the other. If somebody prophesies to you, or if you go out to prophesy, if you prophesy something contrary to what God is telling you and contrary to what is in his word, which he wouldn't tell you anything outside of his word, then you need to throw that thing away. Do not act upon it, because God's not going to give any new revelation. Okay, he might reveal something to you, but it's not new. There's going to be no adding to the scripture. He tells us that. And so understand, that has to be in alignment. In 1 Corinthians, bear with me. I know I'm jumping around and hitting different spots, but you notice we're hanging out in Corinthians right now. In 1 Corinthians, verse 4, says the person who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. That's what I was just talking about. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. See? So I'm not saying stuff that I feel good about. This isn't me creating anything. I'm just going straight by the scripture. You build up yourself. Now, it tells us in Jude that that's okay. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We don't want to say we don't do that. See, sometimes the enemy comes in and says, oh, well, you don't need to prophesy, or you don't need to speak in tongues then, right? Because look, he said prophecy is better. You got to know the application. Okay? So you definitely do need to pray. Paul talks about, he said, I pray in the spirit and I pray in my understanding. He sings in the spirit as well. And so everything has to work together. God is a God of order. So understand, tongues, you pray, you build yourself up, but prophecy is to bless other people, okay? And actually think about our other gifts. They bless other people. The word covet, earnestly, is zelo. That is the Hebrew for that. Z-E-L-O-O. And Z-E-L-O-O. And that basically is to have great desire, same way we pull zealous. Amen? So we really want to link to that. Desire is a scriptural key to receiving anything from God. Now, it is a scriptural key to receiving anything from God. You know, I used to have this, I remember folks would be putting on these conferences and they would say, come expecting, anticipate something to happen. There's something that comes along with your faith, your God-given faith. I'm not talking about the gift of faith. I'm talking about that faith of a mustard seed it talks about, even if you had that. Every person's been given faith. And when you connect your desire with that, things can happen. You will be able to receive what God has for you. Everybody was tripping because of the woman who was a woman with the blood issue of blood. She had a desire to get healed. She used all her money, went all these different places, used her money. But when she got to the proper source, her desire was already there. Her faith was already there. And she touched even the hem. And the virtue went out of him. All those people touching him. But she got what she needed. So understand, I've been at conferences with people who said, that thing was worthless. I didn't get anything out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you, you say what you want about Benny Hinn. I'm not saying everything that has happened over time is right. But I will tell you, there was a time I went to a Benny Hinn conference in Chicago. And some people I went with didn't get anything out of it. But there was a clear presence of God in that place. And I was way back up in the balcony area. And I watched because he did this wave. He said, here it is. And he did this wave. And I'm telling you, something went on in that place. And I was all the way back in this huge coliseum. And that thing pushed me over. Now, I came expecting God to move. You know, now I could have sat there and said, what's he doing? He probably paying a couple of those people in the audience to say they got healed. I could have taken that position. They probably turned the AC on right when he said, here it comes. What if they timed the AC that it turns on as it's going around the place? You know, somebody could have been there trying to figure it out. And not get anything. Because the desire was not there to receive. Sometimes it's just about you having the desire to receive what God has. Amen? So I want to talk about four keys to manifesting from spiritual to natural. So when I talk about, there used to be a guy, boy, Larry Lee, I believe. Yeah, man, I almost forgot his name. Larry Lee, I think that's. But he used to say, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. I love the way he would phrase it. There was a message he did. And he was very a man of faith and brought the word. And when I think about that, come thy kingdom, be done thy will on earth as it is in heaven. And so here where it says four keys, where I'm talking about four keys of manifesting from spiritual to natural, that is pulling down what's going on in the spiritual realm to where you see it in the natural. Okay? So that's that piece. And one of the things, one of the keys is desire, which we've been talking about. To desire to the point of begging. To the point of begging. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes we're so dignified. Sometimes we are so proud in ourselves that we have grown to be sufficient, self-sufficient, that we don't really feel the need to beg. But I'm thinking about Hezekiah or any other king who had been told, King, your life's over. Get your affairs in order. You know something? You look so much different in that point. You know, you just get kind of crazy at that point. I mean, your desire level is crazy because you're like, I'm at the end. And now you say, no, give me 2 more weeks. Give me 10 years, whatever. We've got to have a desire because when we desire the things of God, that desire is motivation to move. I was talking to Talisha, Alan's wife, and now I have not confirmed that this is true. I did not think this could happen, but Talisha said there are actually people who can hold their breath underwater. I think she said, it seemed like she said more 20 minutes, but that's just ridiculous. I don't know how that's possible. But how can somebody train themselves to hold their breath underwater for 20 minutes? But can you imagine being to the point that you are almost out of your supply of breath and you're underwater? If Ivy was next to me, if Jaden was next to me, I would like to think I would have the presence of mind not to slap them up trying to get up to the surface. But you're going to fight to get to that thing that is so precious. I just need air. It's that type of begging. Desire it. Because it changes lives. It changes your neighbor's life. How long do I need to spend time praying and interceding and for God, in God, for me to be, if I knew, maybe I would do it. Because I want to be able to say, get up, bud. Susie, get well. I don't care. Whoever it is, I'd like to just say, done. Throw that chair away or whatever it is. What do I have to do to get to that level, God? What desire do I have to have? Otis, you can't see movies for the next 4 years. That would be hard for me. Stop watching movies. Just intercede in my presence. Even though I want them hard, that would be, I want them healed. The dumbest stuff, watching something that's fiction. Now, I'm not saying God would tell you to do that, but I'm saying we need to desire whatever God wants to get it done. Let's get it done, right? Number 2, we must pray. We must talk with God and not just talk to God, but wait and say, God, what are you saying? I'm talking about pulling things down from the spiritual realm into my natural realm to where it's utilized. Listen, by the way, you consume in the natural. When you talk about something in the spirit, that's great, but it's philosophy, for lack of a better word. I know it's not philosophy, but it's not tangible. Let's say it that way. It's not tangible until you bring it into the visible world. You know how God says everything you see was in the invisible first These swords were created in the invisible. Spiritual power created these. They were manifested in the natural realm. I see them now. So they're in the visible. We do not consume anything until we bring it into our natural. Right? In order for that to happen, you have to have a desire. Two, you have to pray. And the thing is, to pray, you got to spend time. I make it a habit anytime I tell somebody, I don't care, even on Facebook. If I say I'm praying, I'm praying. Because it's God and me. It's like a vow. It's like an oath. So seriously, if I tell you I'm going to pray, I actually have to tell myself, now you said you're going to pray. Don't forget. And I either write myself a note or I do it right there. I'm telling you, I do. But that means I have to spend time in it. And it's not some little, oh, help them. God bless them. I'm done. Mm-mm. You got to pray and you got to listen and say, God, tell me. And when you listen, you got to say, God, even if what you tell me doesn't fit what I want it to do. Now, listen. Hey, y'all, by the way, I got a testimony. Ivy's getting me an 85-inch TV. Hey. I know. Y'all might say, oh, he's so vain. No, I'm teasing. But no, seriously. So for our anniversary, our 30th anniversary is coming up August 31st. And she said, baby, going to get you that flat screen TV. You've been. It's so I can do sermons better. I can see. I'm joking. No, but seriously. So check it out. I was in Best Buy. I'm going somewhere with this. This is why this is. I tell you, God just brings this stuff up as stories that I can share. Because, again, I'm trying to address this thing of not falling off of what you set out to do. I'm talking to this guy at Best Buy. He's helping this other couple. They're getting a flat screen. And so I told him what I'm looking for. He said, well, you know, that's good. It's a Sony and it was this. And he said, but I really think this LG, now it's a little smaller, but the image, you really, and he's trying to talk me off of my 85-inch TV to like a 70 or something. And I'm like, I'm not hearing it. I cut him off quick. I'm like, I came here for an 85-inch. Don't tell me about no 70-inch or anything else right now. I finally got my wife to say yes to this. No, but seriously, what I'm saying to you is as I'm praying, I will tell you that as I'm praying, and if it was God who said, son, you don't need them. Now, understand. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but son, you don't need that 85. Son, I want you to do a 65-inch or something like that. Now, I know God wouldn't be too concerned about that type of stuff. He's got bigger things to deal with. But what I'm saying is if God speaks to me something that doesn't look like what I wanted, I don't override him. I might override that salesman who's trying to get me to get on some other type of brand. But when God says no, I say, yes, sir. I might be disappointed, but I still see God's no as maybe not now, or I got something else better for you, but that's because I know the master. Listen, I wouldn't have Ivy if he had gave me something I thought I wanted earlier. There was something I just thought, there was a woman, and she is a good friend to today, but it wasn't the right fit. And I thought I wanted her. I thought that was the right thing. And God said, no. That was the only time in my life, that I said, why not? I mean, I was out. I was on Union Street next to Larry's Doghouse. This was years ago. I used to live over there. I was in the parking lot. Why not? I probably looked crazy. And, but later, he said, son, look at this. And I was like, oh, my. Yes, okay. Thank you, God. I almost made an error. So anyway, you got to listen. When you pray, listen and let him guide you. Number three, Again, these are keys to manifesting from spiritual realm to natural. You've got to believe. Somebody said this already earlier. I think Ivy was singing Trust. We trust in you. And I think Eddie mentioned, I can't even remember, but Eddie was talking something when he was up here. And I said, man, they just stepping all over my stuff. But we've got to trust God. It doesn't do any good to desire something, pray about it. So you're interceding, you're praying, and God says, okay, here we go. Believe me for it. Believe me now. I'm bringing it to you. And you say, I can't believe he's going to do it for me. Some of us might say, well, that's silly. Of course, if I desire it and I pray for it, clearly I know he can do it. But the belief part sometimes disappears when it comes to you. I can believe her. She'll get that. Oh, he'll get that job. Their kids will get that degree. Their kids will get the scholarship. And he says, well, wait a minute. Can't you believe me to do this for you? But we run it through our filter. We know who we are. We feel like an imposter. I can't tell you how many meetings I'm in, and I'm just being straight up honest with you. I'm on several state boards, and this has been since 2008. People invite me to be on the state boards. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, they see me. This was when I was doing finance. There's many who call me expert. They say, well, Otis is one of our fiscal experts. And so I'm on these state boards with like what they across the state, they'll say maybe five to six of us are their experts. And because we do these different projects for them and they call us in. And I go in these meetings, you know, in the big, in these, just looking over the city, big, huge conference table. It's intimidating. And in my head, I'm thinking, why am I here with these people? Because you feel like you're an imposter. It's like, they're going to find out I'm not all that. But God keeps causing me to excel and rise up. But in my mind, I'm thinking, ooh, these are some big hitters. And they're looking at me. I found out later. They're looking at me and saying, that cat's a big hitter. All of us around the same table thinking the same thing. That's the devil, the accuser of the brethren, trying to mess with you. And I'm trying to tell you, you must believe God has you in a place for a reason. Even through all of that intimidation and feeling like I'm in the wrong place and these people are so much above me, God still produces at such a high level that people, I've gone to conferences. And seriously, I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying this because it's not me. It's God. I've gone to conferences and people have said, you're the one that came up with that design for this project that we're using. I heard about you, Otis. You're the one that did this. You know, there's a state organization where I designed the spreadsheet and the way that it works and everything for a certain group. And so people all across the state uses that thing. And they come and say, I heard about you. Yeah, will you speak at our conference? Yeah, I will. And I'm thinking, Lord, what did I just say? So what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes we compartmentalize what we can believe God for, because I can see God doing it for Terry. But God says, I'm going to do it for you, Otis. Well, we got to check ourselves. Amen? I know I'm spending time on this. So 1, 2, 3 was desire, pray, believe, and number 4, receive. So we have to come to a place where we believe what God, what we've prayed about, what we had a desire for, what we've prayed about. And you know what? You got to that place where you really believed, God's going to do it for me. He's no respecter of persons. He's done it for them. He can do it for me. And you've believed it. And then sure enough, it shows up at the door. And you say, no, send it back to sender. Do you know how many times we do that? It's false humility sometimes. Because God gives us something, and again, we say, I don't deserve it. I know what I messed up on. I know I didn't do this right. And God sometimes just says, be quiet and receive it. It's okay. There used to be a time anybody try to hand me money and bless me. No. And God told me, stop doing that. One time there was this guy, I was going to Bible school, and this guy, he didn't have much money. You would see him all over town, and I mean, he just did not have much money. And the guy tried to give me, we were in the Bible class together. He said, listen, I want to bless you, brother. And I said, okay, what's up? He said, here's a dollar. I just want to bless you. And I was like, man, I'm thinking he needs that money. I said, brother, thank you. I gave it back to him. I said, you know what? You keep that money and go do something with it. And he went off, and we were at a break. We were on break. So we were in Bible school, and we had a break. So I know he went to the restroom. And so I sat down in the room because I'm waiting for the class to start back up. And God said, how dare you? I said, what? I said, he needs some money. He said, you take that back. I mean, you go and get that back from him and do not deny his opportunity to be blessed. Who do you think you are? You looked at a dollar and thought, oh, that's nothing. God said, it's everything. He bilked me. He bilked me hard right there. I went and found that guy in the bathroom. Probably looked weird going in the bathroom after him. But I said, listen, I called him by his name. I said, man, give me that dollar. He said, what? I said, give me that dollar. He gave me that dollar. I said, listen, and I buked him. I went in to buke him. I said, don't you ever let someone deny you your opportunity to be blessed. I qualified or disqualified your giving to me, and I should not have done that. Never accept that. I said, because that was your opportunity to sow. And when you sowed, you were setting yourself up for God to give. I said, do not let anyone ever do that to you. He said, all right. Because I was serious about it. God buked me. I said, dang, let me get in here. So what I'm telling you is, sometimes it is hard for us to receive what God has done for us. But he's saying, I've done it for you. Receive it. Take it. Next, we want to talk about stirring. Oh, I know. I'm good. Thanks, baby. You know, I'm getting nowhere near this, so let's see. Okay, I'm going to end with stirring it up. So stirring, understand, we have gifts. And the goal is that we will embrace our gifts, okay? Everyone in here, out of the 9 gifts, you at least have one, okay? And that might be the one you'll operate in most of the time. But understand, God wants people to be blessed. And so think about this. Think about having a menu of 9 gifts. And even though you may lean towards operating in one or the other, maybe one or two, all of them are available for God to utilize through you. So, he's not going to say, oh, darn, I wanted someone to be healed. But, you know, that person who normally operates in the gift of healing isn't here. No, he's going to say, what do I need? And all of a sudden, he's going to have an inspiration in you to operate in that if you will let him. It might not be one you'll use all the time. You might use it one time and not see yourself operate in it again. But know that that's a menu there for God to use through you at any time. Now, there's certain ones that you may have. Some of you may have the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom. And I'm not here teaching about the gifts right now, so I'm not going to teach about each of those gifts. My thing is to stir up your desire to have those gifts and to find out which one's yours and to let it loose in this place. Still has to be submitted to the leadership, but there's a proper way, okay? So, understand, you may operate in a certain gift all the time, and that's where God's graced you, and you're comfortable in that, and he uses you a lot of times. But whatever he wants to do in that area, he may drop another one on you just for that specific occasion. But bottom line is, those being available, we got to stir them up. So stirring is based upon the individual's will, not God's will. Now, that sounds weird because we know we want God's will to be done. God is always willing. The issue is that we have to be willful. Okay? So stirring happens when we say, okay, you know, he told David to encourage himself. When David came back and all his stuff was gone, the women were taken, the kids and all their possessions, David's men wanted to kill him. David had to encourage himself. He had to stir it up, the desire to go on and find some hope. And God told him, go and pursue. You will overtake all. You will recover all. And so understand, it was David doing the stirring. So we have to stir. God's given the gift, but we got to stir it up. And how do we do it? We get into the word of God. We start speaking his word back to him. When we do that, there's a relationship that starts to happen. When we speak God's word back to him, he says, yes. There's a confirming that takes place or a confirmation that takes place, and you start getting charged. I don't know. When I speak the truth of God's word, and even when I hear the truth being spoken, there's something that, I feel this like charge, you know? But that's God. And so we have to stir it up and get to where we need to be. Okay, so I'm going to look real quick. I know we're running out of time, but I'm going to hit in 2 Timothy. If we can go to 2 Timothy, let me find my spot here. 2 Timothy 1:6. See, I had all these marked, color coordinated in my phone here, if I can get there. So 2 Timothy 1:6, let me get there real quick. Ooh, y'all, I'm hungry. My stomach is up here tripping. all right, so I was going to read 6, but I want to go up to 5. And here he says, I recall your sincere faith. He's talking to, hold on for a moment. This is Timothy talking. And he's saying, I recall your pure faith. I'm sorry, Paul. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmama, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And now I am convinced is in you also, right? So I put this fifth, I added number 5 just for a little bit of understanding is it was already in this cat's lineage to operate. He sees this, right? And so it's almost like he's trying to remind him who he is. I am convinced is in you also. So understand, just because someone else is convinced, there's a difference between someone else being convinced and you being convinced what's in you. And so the transformation has to happen in the stirring, that you stir it up. And so in 6, it says, therefore, I remind you. Again, we come back to remind you. I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. So again, we're back to rekindling, jump-starting, stirring something that is already present. It's like I mentioned, I usually share this when I talk about this piece, is that it reminds me of the chocolate milk. I used to love chocolate milk. You would have your white milk and you would mix in I like the powder, quick powder, but some of us like the syrup. And you stir it up and it's chocolate milk now. You wait, let it sit there for a couple hours. You come back, it looks like white milk with something chocolate in the bottom. And you probably don't get the taste until you stir it up, right? And that's what we have to do. The gifting is in you, but we got to stir it up. It's not a passive thing. God's not going to come and stir it for you. The world's not going to stir it. When you do something to the world will encourage you to go to your carnal state. That's what the world will stir for you. So you got to be deliberate. So understand, there's 7 factors I was going to go into. I'm not going to get into all of these. They're really good. You can get in our class at some point and see those. I will also encourage you to check out at some point. Well, and you've heard pastors speak about this, the talents. that had been given out. One guy was given 5 talents, one guy was given 2, and then another one was given 1. Check that story out because, again, it talks about a person's motivation in using their gifts. God does want us to use our gifts. So when we do our self-survey of where we are and what we've done, are we using our gift? If you come up with a 0, you've got to start just saying, I'm going to find one opportunity. And then after that, okay, I'm going to find another opportunity. I'm going to allow myself to be used this month. There's going to be 3 occasions where I'm going to allow God to use me. We got to be deliberate. We got to plan. Because there's too many of us sitting in here. And if we are not using the gift that God has given us, our fire is smaller than it's supposed to be. You're coming in here with logs. Throw your log into the flame. Amen? Because we want to rage on. That's the gist of this message. So I hope you received what I am saying to you. There's more study that we can do around this. Again, look in 1 Corinthians 12 and understand those gifts and ask yourself, which one of these gifts, God, do you want me to operate in? Which one do you have for me to operate in? So that our whole church and our community can be blessed. Amen? All right. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this message. I trust that it's going to do what you have for it to do, Father God, and it's going to move in the hearts of your people and cause us to go to the next level, Father God. I just thank you for speaking to us as we pray and listen to you, that we will do what you have for us to do, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.